the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice in it and be exceedingly glad. When I look across this congregation right here, it's just so exciting. I see so many personalities, so many different people with so many great things that they've brought before the Lord. And I tell you what, this is one of the times that I've got a very, very special Aunt Imogene's here. Now I'll tell y'all about Aunt Imogene a little bit later down the road. I asked her daughter, I said, Cheryl Ann, I said, you think Aunt Imogene could speak just for a couple of minutes? Says, no way. This is a very special time, though, to have my first cousin, my second cousin, my aunt, and my mama. Thank y'all so much. Well, this is, we thank y'all. Amen. This is special. And so many other special people. And folks, we're just in for an exciting time because during the month of July, we are going to have some dynamic speakers coming up. And next Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, Brother Scott's going to be speaking. And then the following Wednesday, Brother Larry's going to be speaking. And then Brother Eddie. And then Brother Walter. And then we're going to wrap it up with Brother Jim. But if you'll come and hear Brother Scott, we'll feed you watermelon. Okay? Wednesday night after Brother Scott speaks and we have our time of worship, we're going to share together with a watermelon bust. So y'all come out. But it's not going to be the watermelon bust it used to be. In fact, I read in some of the old journals, and when the Baptists used to go to the convention up north, the Baptists from Mississippi, they said to them, we want you to leave your watermelons at home. You know, wonder why. And it's a true story now. Leave your watermelons at home. Because you see, the old timers used to cut a little hole at the end of the watermelons and pour some white lightning into the watermelons and put the stopper back in there. So they told them to leave their watermelons at home. Go back in the annals. You can read that account. Okay. Things have progressed. We're going to have watermelons straight. Okay. Coming up on Wednesday night. Therefore, but as we are looking into what is happening over the next few weeks, we've been teaching through the book of the Revelation. And now we're coming to the last church. When we approach this, when we conclude this church, there's not but one place to go. And that's heaven. That's heaven, folks. And so therefore, this is the last church age. This is the last church. This is the last message. This is the final chapter before the rapture occurs. Because when we move into chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, the next scene will be the scene in heaven. And the church will never be mentioned again on planet earth until the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. And when He comes back, then we will come back with 10,000 of the saints. We will come back with the Lord Jesus setting up upon a 1,000-year reign of Christ during the days of the millennium. So folks, this is the last page. This is the last chapter. The screen now, if we were at a play, they would raise it up. And then it plays out. And this is it. You know, as I think about these words and preparing for this, I can very well remember telling my dad one day, Dad, I got X amount of number of days until I graduate. Boy, I was just beaming and excited. And you know what my dad said? He says, yeah. He says, you're counting them one way, and I'm counting them the other. You know, we're excited about Jesus coming back. We're excited about going to heaven. But I wonder if our Heavenly Father says, yes, you're counting them one way, but you've only got so much time left. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing. Knowest not that thou art poor, wretched, miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked? I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, with white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that thy shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salves, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, the kind of interesting is we begin to develop this line of thinking right here as this curtain begins to rise up. When it falls the last time, it's over with. But I'd like to carry you to several different scenes. In fact, we're going to have 10 scenes. And you say, 10 scenes. If I multiply that times 5 minutes, that's 50 minutes plus the invitation. But okay. All right. So we ate good yesterday. We had hamburgers. So we're all happy. We're all ready now to celebrate and to go into God's Word and to really begin to pick up on some of these things. Because scene number one, I want you to see this very plainly. God sent a messenger. It says, unto the angel of the church at Laodicea write. Now, capture this. Unto the church of the Laodicea. Church, singular. Go to the last verse, verse 22 of this chapter. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Okay, capture this. I've got a specific message for the church of Laodicea. But this message is not just for Laodicea. This message is for the whole church, all 7 churches. The last church ages in which we are living in. In fact, the Bible would teach us the impression, our world that we're living in now, this is the last church age. The only thing left is the rapture. And so he says unto the angel, noticing God the Father sent a messenger to the church of Laodicea. Whoa, what's in the name? Laodicea, laos, people. Dicea, talking about ruling and reigning, or rights. And so therefore, in the word that we're looking at right here, the church of the Laodicea, it's talking about the church with the age of the rights of the people. Now, does that sound just a little bit familiar? How many of us talk about our rights? This is my right. This belongs to me. You can't do this. You can't. I have this right. You can't take it away. Many times inside of the church, this final church age, what was happening, people were rich, fat, happy, and they were saying, look, these are all my rights. You let me alone. And you know what? I'll explain it just a little bit later. But God began to be sick. What happens here is when the church loses sight of the exalted position of the slave, then this type of sickness begins to creep into the church. You heard it right. The exalted position of the slave. We are slaves to Jesus Christ. And how many rights does the slave have? You got it. None. So therefore, in the last church age, we need to remember when people start demanding rights, then they are slipping down away from the exalted position of being a slave for Jesus Christ and saying, this is me-ism. This is my. This is us. That final church. That final church age, when it begins, as God begins to speak here, He wants us to remember, hey, look, what's happening in this? To the church of the Laodicea, what is happening? 35,000 adults were taking a survey. 92% believe in God. 74% believe in life after death. 63% say their respective scriptures are the Word of God. Let me break that down for you. 92% out of this 35,000 surveyed said they believe in God. That means 8% that says they don't believe in the Word of God. Let me carry that one step further. It said that there are 74% believe in life after death. That means there's 26 people, 26% of the people who say, when you die, you're just dead. I had a man to tell me that when we were up in Fairbanks, Alaska. We started to share with him about Jesus Christ. And I said, well, man, you got to realize that one day you're going to die. And that man says, when I die, I'm dead. And he turned around and he walked off. 26% of the people. Now, when you start hitting this percentage, you got to realize that a lot of these people are in the church. This letter was written to the churches, okay? Let's understand this. This letter was written to the churches. These 35,000 people were not necessarily church-going people right here. But all of a sudden it said 63% believe their respective scriptures was the Word of God. Only 63? Wait a minute, folks. This is God's Word. There is no other word. You can take the Quran, you can take any other form of writings. There's only one word. This is God's infallible, inerrant Word of God. And the last church needs to understand this. Because it's being corroded into the churches. You can't trust it. Listen, folks, we live and breathe and we die upon the Word of God. And so therefore, in this last church age, when you begin to see things beginning to develop and going down south, you need to understand. Among the survey from the Pew Forum on Religion, they said 57% of evangelical churches attenders say they believe many religions can lead to eternal life. 57% said many religions. Listen, folks. All religions will send you to hell. Every one of them. Only a relationship with Jesus Christ will take you to heaven. And so therefore, we need to get back to really where it is. It is the Word of God. It is Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father except by me. That's it. The discussion is over with. The chapter is closed. And no matter what happens with this scene, we need to understand this. But inside of the church, hey, wait a minute. He's saying these words that are coming to us, they're very faithful, they're very true. But look at this verse. Who's talking to us? The Scripture says, these things saith the Amen. The faithful and the true witnesses and the beginning of the creation of God. Scene 2, the messenger spoke with absolute truth. Absolute truth means Jesus Christ demands the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help himself. Okay? He is God. Look at there where the Scripture says, unto the Amen. I love that word, Amen. Don't you like that word, amen? Barely, barely, truly, truly, amen. He says, that's it, buddy. There is no other. And then he carries it one step further. He says, the faithful. In other words, the faithful means trustworthy, truthful, true. It is the same. This word is the same yesterday. It's the same today. And it's the same tomorrow. It never changes. It's absolute truth. You live, you die upon the Word, upon the messengers telling to us. And he goes on and he says, and this is the true witness. The true witness is one record, is a martyr's, a witness. And Jesus Christ died to let us know that this is the absolute. Because in his Word, he said if he died, he'd rise again. And that's exactly what he did. He died, he paid for our sins, and he rose from the grave. And he says, I am the true witness. And the last picture we see of Jesus, it said, the beginning of the creation of God. Now, the beginning, what is that? Beginning means the first. Beginning means preeminent. Beginning means powerful. I am the one who created. So therefore, the one who is powerful, creative, substantial, all the way, absolute of God, he is very God. He said, I'm the one who's delivering this message. Now, who is he delivering it to? It is to the church of the Laodicea, to this last church age. He is now saying to us, he is the light of the world. And what's going to happen is that the light, when the light comes in, you know what happened? Have you ever walked into a room where the dark was out, flipped it on, and the cockroaches get... You ever done that? I mean, have you ever been to a place where you ate and they turn the lights on the cockroaches? That'll stir you up too. I mean, all of a sudden you see these little bugs just going round and round. Hey, when the light comes on, what happens to the cockroaches? They scatter. When the light is in the pulpit of the church, cockroaches are going to scatter. But if the light goes out into the pulpit of the church, the roaches are going to be right at home. Folks, we've got to lift up the light of Jesus Christ. And when you lift up Jesus Christ, and when you lift up the light of Jesus Christ, then all of a sudden, you're going to find some people squirming. You know that? They'll start squirming and start moving around. Because why do they do that? Because when we're looking at this church, verse 15, and I'm going to come back to it, but verse 15 says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Do you know what God is saying to us about the last church age? About the last church? The last final roll call? He says, I look into this church and it makes me sick. Man, what would do that? What would make God sick? When you read the word spew out of mouth, you know what that means? Let me use the word in the vernacular. It's not pulpit material, but it's called vomit. Okay? What makes God sick? And can we make God sick? Can we do it? Can the church make God sick? Well, I started thinking about sometimes how people play church. How do people play church? Sometimes sanctification. Sanctification, boy, that's a big word. That's a $20 word, sanctification. Sanctification means holiness. Do you want, from the very passion of your life, do you want to live a holy life for Jesus Christ? The way you walk, the way you talk, the way you dress, the things you put in your mind, is it going to be holy for Jesus Christ? Are you going to be sanctified? Do we allow the holy Hollywood dump a holy trash into a holy mind? Absolutely not. The Bible says, 1 Peter 1:15 says, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manners of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. What makes God sick is when there's somebody, some individuals inside of the church who said, we love God and we live like the devil. We love God and we dress like the devil. We love God and we want the world to be a part of us. God says, I want you to be holy. The Bible says, be ye holy. Holy in our mind. Holy in our actions. Holy in our thoughts. When you walk up and all of a sudden the guys are telling some dirty joke, you sit in there and pat them on the back and just laugh with them. Holiness. Breaking away. Holy means being set apart. Are we living a sanctified life? Secondly, are we serving? The word service comes to the mind. Are people committed to building the Sunday school class? Are people committing to building souls that are lost? Are people committed to building the kingdom of God? Service. Some want to back up in this last church and say, oh man, it's not my place. It's not my right. Let the young people do it. Let the old people do it. Let nobody do it. Service means we're going to dedicate our life to Jesus Christ. We're going to put it all on the line for Him. We need to serve Him. Are people committed to building relationships so that people might be saved? Hey, look, if you don't have some lost friends, you're backing up. If you don't have some lost friends, how in the world are they going to get saved? You need to have saved friends. You need to have lost friends. And we need to be serving the Lord Jesus. If you're trying to hold on to life, the Bible says in John 12:25, he that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. In other words, you got to turn your life over. If you want to get all the gusto out of life, the beer people say you got to do it their way. But if you want to go to heaven, you got to do it God's way. And you got to serve Him. And then what about singing? Singing. Hey, look, are people singing in the Spirit? Are people singing, being moved in the Spirit? Does it bring tears to your eyes? What does the Scripture say? In Ephesians 5:19, it says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. God wants us to be singing. You know what I can do? I can watch a G-rated movie, and I can see some little bitty girl who changes a town over, and she falls down, and the whole town comes to her house because she did such a wonderful job in transforming. And you know what I can do? I know I'm manly. I can get old tear come up to my eye. I can get this frog jump in my throat. You may not do that, but I can do that. You know what? But so many times when we sing, we're just as dry-eyed, mouth the words, and we don't move nobody. It wasn't that way this morning. But inside of us, singing to the Lord. Boy, I can carry you to my church. Well, the church I pastored a million miles away, about 60 miles away from here, and the men sit on one side, and the women sit on the other side, and the women would sing out, and the men would do this. You know what? That's just totally contrary to that word. We're to be opening up our mouths singing. You say, well, I can't carry a tune in a bucket. God never asked you to bring a bucket to church. Okay? Just open up and let her fly. Just have fun. Let it come from the heart, singing. Let being praises to God. And then the Scripture. The Scripture. What makes God ill is when here He is for about 6,000 years, He's had this Word right here in front of us. World's bestseller. Life's answer. Jesus is the answer to every issue, every problem in life. I've got it for you. It's number one. And if I were to ask you today, I would say, do you believe this Bible? Absolutely. Do you believe what's written in the Commercial Dispatch? And you would say, okay, all right. What about USA Today? Oh, what about New York Times? Okay, now here comes the real question. Which one do you read the most, Commercial Dispatch or this? Don't answer that. You know what? We'll read what's not true so much more than we'll get in there. And if you're an average in this last church age, if you're average, I'll dare say a high percentage of us in this room right here have not read this book from one end to the other. Isn't that amazing? World's bestseller, the truth. We'll read the Commercial Dispatch from front to back. Or better than that, we'll read the packet from front to back. And we'll see what's in there. But will we read God's Word? You know that you can read through this book in 10 months if you'll just read 4 chapters a day. If you've not read through this book, and you can say, well, we had a guy this week at the funeral home said, well, look, I started reading through the, and I don't think he's a believer. He said, I started trying to read through the Bible. When I got to about the fourth book, it just got dry and I just quit. You know what? If you're not spiritual, you won't get it. Because the Spirit is the one who's going to lead you. And yes, when you get in some of this you won't, some of this stuff I speed read. So-and-so begot, so-and-so begot, so-and-so begot, so-and-so. I don't try to concentrate on that. I know there's a spiritual lesson in there. I just hadn't found it. But you know what? I will read through it. It's in there. But I will read through the Word, the book. Have you read it? Do you read it? Do you spend time with it every day? The Scripture. And then supplication. Supplication. What does God? God wants us to pray. God wants us to lift up our hearts and our voices and our minds and spend. If you're the average in the last church age, you pray less than 10 minutes a day. You'll pray less than 10 minutes a day. And you know what? I like what one preacher said. He said, if you don't ever want to backslide, let me give you a formula. He says, if you'll talk to God, if you will listen to God for 15 minutes, that's reading His Word. If you will talk to God for 15 minutes, that's praying. And if you will carry on a meaningful conversation about God for 15 minutes with someone else, he said, you'll never backslide. And this guy said, I did that, and it works. God wants us to get the Word inside of us. God wants us to pray. God wants us to talk with other people. Supplication. James 5:16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We need power in this last church age when people are dying and going to hell. We need power. And then there's the word sacrifice. Sacrifice. Has your lifestyle been changed because of Jesus Christ? Has your lifestyle been changed? Do you sacrifice? Well, I give him the leftovers. Or I'll give you, if I don't have anything else to do, then I'll go to church. Or if I have any money left over at the end of the month, I'll tip him. Well, some people call it tithing, but that they just tip him. Tithing's 10%, but they just tip him. If there's anything left over, I'll say, hey, have you suffered for Jesus Christ? Suffering? I was reading in the Baptist Record today where a guy down in the Dominican Republic lost his life. I don't know how he did it. My brother just got back last weekend from going to the Dominican Republic. Are we willing to suffer in these last days for Jesus Christ? Yeah, I'm willing to suffer. Well, will you take your Bible to church? I'm willing to suffer. Well, will you bow your head at noon at prayer when you're sitting there in Hardee's? Will you stop for that moment and will you say, God, thank you so much for this food? Are we ashamed of the Word? Are we ashamed of prayer? Are we ashamed of... Are we going to sacrifice for Jesus Christ? And then there's soul winning. Soul winning. Are you sharing Jesus Christ with other people so that they might be saved? Are you learning how to share with Jesus Christ? Are you loving other people to share Jesus Christ? And listen, folks. In order for you to share Jesus Christ, all you have to have is a testimony. Did Jesus save you? If you can say yes, then you got something to share. You share with them Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit can bring conviction. Now on August the 4th, we're going to have a soul winning training here. August the 4th on Sunday night, Monday night, August the 4th. We're going to help you how to work on your testimony. One win. I mean, we're going to be doing that together. And we want everyone in here, nobody left out. We want everyone in here coming together and sharing that and learning how to share your testimony. How to share Jesus Christ. Soul winning. In the last church age, when you get cold, well, you don't care. Let's go. Oh, man. I have so much more I want to share with you. So let's read on. Looking at the Scripture says this, I know your works. Verse 15, I know thy works are not neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. What I'm seeing in verse 15, I'm seeing the messenger expose the condition of the church. And when the church discovers the condition, many times it's a condition of it's all about me rather than about him. It's the mentality that I will rationalize my position by stating something of this nature. Well, I'm just as good as so-and-so, or I do just as much as... It don't matter. The only measurement that we have is Jesus Christ. He is the only one that can measure. And so therefore, the condition, Jesus said, the spiritual temperature of this church in Laodicea was lukewarm. It wasn't hot. It was too spiritual to be cold. And it was too cold to be spiritual. It was lukewarm. And God said, I'd rather you be cold. I would rather you be cold, lay at home, stay in the bed all day than to go to church and be lukewarm. That's hard for a preacher to say. Because preacher, I want you here. As long as I got you here, the Holy Spirit can knock you down. Okay? But God says it this way. I would rather you be cold or hot. No in between. Be cold or hot. He says anywhere that's in between in that is called lukewarm. Have y'all ever had mineral water? You know what mineral water. You take mineral water, you heat it up, you can deal with it. Or if it's cold, you can deal with it. But lukewarm mineral water, it's nasty. It's nasty. God doesn't want us to be nasty. So what is he saying? He's saying that the condition of the church in the Laodicea was all about rights and all about me. Scene 4 opens up. And in scene 4, all of a sudden we see the messenger expounded on how the church got in that situation. Verse 17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have needs of nothing. Knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked? Hey, this church must have been one more bodacious church. They had all the money that they needed. That's what he said. They dressed in the best. They drove in the back. They had everything. They didn't need anything else. Hey, I don't think we're there, guys. I don't think we're the richest. And I don't think that we have everything that we need. And I don't think we're clothed to the best. But what about the heart? Are we saying inside of us, I'm okay? I'm okay. And the preacher asks you, are you okay? Yeah, I'm okay, preacher. Man, I've talked with some people who are just on their way to hell, and I ask them, are you okay? And they say, I'm okay, preacher. In many of the churches, in this last age, they're going to say, I'm okay, I'm increased with goods, I have need of nothing. And Jesus said, look, you don't even know you're sick. You don't even know you're loose. You're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. That is the picture of a lost man. But also, that is the picture of a saved man who lost his first love. He might say he's okay, but God says he's wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Are you lost? Are you saved? Are you okay? What was the response? This messenger, when the scene continued on, he says, look, here's the message of grace. He says, I counseled thee to buy me gold tried in fire, that thou mayest be rich, and with white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness doth not appear, and anoint thine eyes with thy salve, that they may see. Because you see, in the city of Laodicea, in that city there were three primary things known about Laodicea. One, it was its wealth. Two, was its cloth that it sold. It was rich. And three, was its medicine. Medical eye. They had this eye salve. Laodicea was known for that. So all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit says, look, guys, I want you to play off these three ideas. I want you to know that God wants you to have the best. But if you're going to have gold, it's got to be tried with fire. He says, I want you to be dressed in white. White means purity. And I want you to be able to see. And the Holy Spirit is the only one that's going to help you to see clearly. I want you to see. Now, as we pull down to the end of this, I want you to see these last few words. The grace of God is coming out. And he said, I counseled you to do these things. But then in verse 19, the messenger expounded upon the love of God. Verse 19, oh, I like this one. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Hey, look, has the Lord taken you to the woodshed lately? As many as I love, I chasten. I chasten. What is that? When we begin to talk about this, as many as I love, he says, this is differently love. Love is confrontational. Love is convicting. Love is convincing. He says, I speak to them so that they hear me and know me. And all of a sudden, this love is coming out. He says, I rebuke them because I love you. Oh. Boy, have y'all ever heard talking about preachers saying, man, he stepped on my toes today. Or some would say, boy, if they'd have been here, they would have really got it. I don't know which way it would have been. You know? But he says in right here, he says, I rebuke them. And then he says, I chasten them. Love is training, instructing, and discipline. Not only does Jesus tell us what is right and what is wrong, but he instructs us on how to live. He wants you to walk differently. He wants you to walk on fire. And he says inside of this, love is purposeful. He says, be zealous, therefore. I want you to feel differently. Love produces change. I want you to repent. I want you to think differently. So, what does he say? Let God's love. Man, love God so much that when he comes to you and he convicts you, change it. Love God so much that when he tells you to think differently. Love God so much that when he takes you to the woodshed, you say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I know that I'm doing this and going through this because you love me. Scene 7. The scripture says in verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Can you see it now? We're moving down. We're on the other side. We're coming down. The curtain is almost beginning to close. But before this curtain begins to shut, I want you to see Jesus Christ knocking at the door. Knocking at the door. He keeps on knocking and he keeps on knocking. And he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will just hear my voice. You see, nobody can come to Jesus unless the Father calls him. If any man will just hear my voice and open up the door of his heart, I'll come into him and have fellowship with him and he with me. Oh, it gets better. You open up that door of that heart, and all of a sudden when you begin to see what's important, you see how patient Christ is, and then all of a sudden this eighth scene kicks up, and in this eighth scene we can see Jesus saying, I will come into him, I will sup with him, and he with me. What is happening? You invite Jesus into your heart, Jesus talks to you, you talk to Jesus, and all of a sudden this relationship goes on, and on the path of salvation, this narrow path, hey, look, you're focused. You're on the way. Heaven's your goal, and taking as many people along with you as you can. You're there. You're ready. As many as I love, I chase them. I'll get them and instruct them. I'll knock on the door. I'll bring them in my heart. I want to love them. When the door opens to Christ, great things begin to happen. And when a person talks with Christ, burning starts happening inside of us. I can express that burning. That burning. That burning was here this morning. Yesterday, after the vacation Bible school, there was so much excitement and intensity among here that when we came here this morning, there wasn't but one thing to do, and that was to celebrate. That was the intensity of God's people working together. In my mind, before I came to church, I wish we could have vacation Bible school every Sunday. And Miss Donna says, oh no. Gene says, I couldn't stand it. Bring on the nitro. I wish we could. That passion, that fire. Because the scene changes. Look in verse 21. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as also I overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. In other words, this messenger exalts the victory that is found in Jesus. There is victory, but victory demands a battle. There is victory, but victory demands privilege. There is victory, but victory works on victory. In other words, to him that overcomes, God didn't put you in the battle to lose. God put you in the battle to win. And you can and you shall overcome, but you can't do it lukewarm. You got to get fired up. Fired up on Jesus. And there's glory, and there's crowns of glory that awaits the passionate souls. Jesus said to him that overcometh, they're going to sit with me. I don't know of any other blessing in all of eternity that could be better than to be right there, sitting with Jesus on the throne. All of a sudden, it starts coming down now. It's almost closed. But you hear one more last voice. It says in verse 22, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. What has the Holy Spirit been saying? What has He been calling out for us to do today? In other words, you have the capacity. The messenger expresses this Spirit's last call. You have ears to hear. Let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So in conclusion, let's just kind of think of it like this. What's happening? God sent a messenger. The messenger was the Amen. It was Jesus Christ. This messenger delivered a message to the church, to the last church, that church of Laodicea. It said to them, church, it said that you're lukewarm. And he says, here's your problem. You say, but no, it's not. You said this is where you are, but no, it's not. So this messenger says, I counsel you. And after I counseled you, I chastened you. I rebuked you. And then, after I instructed you, I knocked on the door. If you open up, I'll come in. And if I come in, I'll stay. And if I come in, then one day, I'll take you to my throne in heaven. And all I'm asking you to do today is to listen to the Spirit. When I told Dad I had X amount of days, I was excited. When Dad told me he was counted the other way, he saddened. But folks, in this age where we're living, it's not over. As long as we've got breath, we've got the opportunity to be victorious. We have the opportunity to be on fire for Jesus Christ. We have the opportunity to be passionate. And I, for one, am making that decision. I, for one, desire to repent and to remember my first love out of Ephesus. I, for one, desire to suffer the tribulation for Christ out of Sardis. I, for one, desire to live by the sound doctrine of God's Word, Church of Pergamos. I, for one, that will deny false teachers, Thyatira. I, for one, will live a passionate life and live it in Christ, Sardis. I, for one, will walk through the open doors, Philadelphia. And I, for one, will fire up for Jesus Christ, Laodicea. Church, this is the final curtain call. Let's fire up for Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, as we come before You this morning, we're come mindful of Jesus Christ. And Lord, as this curtain begins to fall, we don't know how many days are left. But we do know that the churches of the last age are becoming more sickening unto God. And Father, we do know that we have breath, so therefore we make a decision that we will be victorious for Jesus Christ. Father, we will be passionate until we graduate. Father, grant this body of believers right here whatever it takes to fire us up and to usher in the kingdom of God. And when You come, Lord Jesus, You will let us share in Your glory and sit with You on Your throne. So, Lord, help us to stay focused and give our life to You in word, in deed, in soul winning, in service, in sanctification. Lord, let our lives count for You. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning we share together during a time of an invitation. And as this curtain calls, several things are available. An invitation. What is an invitation? The Spirit says, come. Come. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today's the day. Accept Christ. If you've been living a lukewarm life, well, what I'm going to ask you to do is go to the prayer altars. You want me to pray with you? I'll be glad to pray with you. But I think you and God got an appointment. And that's at the prayer altar. And let's just say, God, I've been lukewarm. I know me. Nobody else knows me, but I know me. And God, Your Spirit tells me I'm not all right. Because I'm not all right, I want to get right. I want God in my life first place. If you're seeking a church home, we invite you. You can come. We love you to be a part of this body. Come on down and be glad to talk with you. But what is God saying to you today? As the curtain calls, as Jesus knocks on the door, will you answer? Let's stand together.